The following program is a Compassion Radio classic featuring Dr. Norm Nelson that originally aired in February of 2013.
What we need to see is something approaching a third great awakening. We need to see a transformation of the behavior and morality of the American people through revival.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hello, friend, and welcome to Compassion Radio, the daily journal of God's work through God's people all around God's earth.
Today's program is focused on our need for a renewed commitment to God if we are to be able to remain the shining city on the hill that we have been from the country's founding until now.
On today's broadcast, we're privileged to welcome back a gentleman who's not only a frequent guest and colleague to us here, he's also a dear friend to Norm and Cher Nelson. And he's got some words to share about the current state of our union that need to be heard. Here's Norm to get things started.
Well, our guest today on Compassion Radio is a very, very esteemed guest and a dear friend and a man that I hold in the highest repute, and that is David Aikman, who once again has written a book that is an absolute must-read for anyone who is a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, and who loves this very special nation of ours, the United States of America. David, welcome to Compassion Radio.
Thank you so much for letting me be on your program.
David, you've written a book which the title, I think, is extremely suggestive and very much true to the course of the book that you set in the writing of this book itself. It's called One Nation Without God, and the subtitle, The Battle for Christianity in an Age of Unbelief. David, I think most people will pick up on the play on words that this title consists of, One Nation Without God, as opposed to One Nation Under God. What are you trying to say in that very provocative title?
Well, I'm trying to say what many Christians have commented to me over the years, that the United States has been steadily moving away from its position of regarding itself as under God's protection and with a covenant of relationship with God. It has been basically discarding all public signs that it is a follower of God, and that's very disturbing.
Yes, it is. And I want to remind our listeners, or if they are new listeners and do not know who you are, you have held some of the most esteemed positions in the realm of journalism, certainly, as I recall, and you can correct me, of course, if I'm wrong here, but you were the bureau chief for Time magazine in Beijing, China, and you have also held a similar position in the Middle East. So you have been at the highest levels of journalism in this nation. Now you're teaching at a very wonderful college there, Patrick Henry College, I believe, in the Washington, D.C. area.
It's in Virginia, yes.
In Virginia.
Yeah.
So with your academic and vocational credentials, for you to write a book like this is something that every Christian needs to pay attention to. There's a question on the back cover that says, is there a place for Christianity in America's future? What about that, David? How would you answer that?
The reason to ask that question is Christians are being squeezed into an ever narrower cordon of permissible behavior on college campuses, in the public sphere in general. It is made increasingly clear to people who want to honor the Lord Jesus Christ in public, but that this is not an acceptable thing to do. And the administration has even done some extraordinary things that seem to be moving the United States in a direction very far away from the covenant relationship with God that was established way back when the Pilgrims and the Puritans arrived.
You know, David, many years ago I read a book by a very esteemed Jesuit scholar, Father John Courtney Murray.
Right.
And he made a very interesting statement in that book. He said basically this: if there is no consensus, that is to say, if we as citizens of this country do not come together around certain things that are self-evident, and of course that word is very much to the fore, those of us who know some of the key documents in American
right.
history, if there is no consensus about what this nation is supposed to be, what its background is, what its calling, if we can refer to that, may be as a nation, if in fact it has a calling, how can we function as a nation? How can we function as a democracy? And I found that marvelous Jesuit scholar, as I have found on so many occasions, to be right on target. It seems to me that he asks a very, very important question there. And what I'd like to ask you, David, as someone that I hold in the same level of high repute, is do we still have that consensus? Are certain things self-evident to those of us who are citizens of this great nation? Have we been so fragmented that that consensus no longer exists, and that perhaps democracy as we have known it to this point in our national history is perhaps no longer possible?
Well, certainly if we don't have a consensus that the morals and the values that we have inherited as a nation that were nourished by the fact that most people in this country were Christians or at least subscribed to the Judeo-Christian tradition, if that consensus is not there, then there is no possibility of democracy surviving. Because without an underlying belief in a higher system of values, in a God-given sort of deployment of morality, faith, and justice, then there's nothing to hold on to. I mean, the process of obeying the law in a purely mechanical sense is absolutely meaningless unless there's an underlying conviction that obedience to the law and basically right behavior is a good thing to do. And we cannot survive on the mechanics of legal instructions.
David, how far down the line in terms of negativity and the destruction of that consensus and so forth have we come? Or are we at a place where that consensus is redeemable? How do you see the situation at this moment?
Well, I think we've come a very long way down the slope in two main areas. In higher education, the fact that most state colleges and universities and many, if not most, of the Ivy League colleges really make it very difficult for people to have a strong Christian position and to invite other people to hear about this strong conviction. And then in popular entertainment, particularly Hollywood and television.
You asked the question, and of course it may be the most important question in the book, was America ever a Christian nation? And there are many of those, certainly plenty of them in the academic community, but also many of them, as you mentioned, in the entertainment industry and so forth, who would argue that, no, we were never a Christian nation and so forth. For those of us who want to take a stand against that kind of idiocy, I would call it, how can we answer that question in a way that is intellectually credible?
Well, of course, from a legalistic point of view, the United States was never officially a Christian nation. We don't have an established church. There is no role of the government in any facet of organized religion. But if you look at the history of this country from the beginning of the European settlement, when the first British settlers came with the Pilgrim Fathers and the Puritans, there is no question that the overwhelming consensus was that this was a community of people, not even yet a nation, that had a covenant relationship with God and was conscious that it should follow God's laws and should repent if it was seen that those laws were being transgressed. And this consensus lasted most of the way through the 19th century. There were American historians who overwhelmingly affirmed the belief that this nation had been established by God, not in a legal sense, but a Christian community to be a blessing to the world in liberty and in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right at the end of the 19th century, we have a Supreme Court justice, Justice Brewer, who in a court ruling that supported the claims of a clergyman from a church in Lower Manhattan to have the right to live and work here, Justice Brewer said, this is a Christian nation. And what he referred to was the fact that until very recently, the Americans had subscribed overwhelmingly to a morality, the transgression of which was actually punishable by law. I mean, for example, if you didn't keep the Sabbath in New England in the first two decades of the 20th century, of the 19th century, I'm sorry, after independence was declared, you could be punished. I mean, people regarded obedience to scriptural commands for good behavior to be really important. Now, Norm, to answer a question that you raised that I didn't yet respond to, can this situation be redeemed? Can the situation where Christianity seems to be sliding into abeyance and the secularists are on a rampage, can it be reversed? And my answer is definitely yes. But what we need to see is something approaching a third great awakening. The second great awakening started about 1800 and finished in 1850. We need to see a transformation of the behavior and morality of the American people through revival.
Such incredible wisdom that we have come to expect every time we visit with special guest Dr. David Aikman alongside our longtime president, Dr. Norm Nelson, on this Compassion Radio Classic program that was first featured in February of 2013. Just in case you weren't aware, the Lord took Norm home to his heavenly reward just a few short weeks ago on April the 10th. We have a special tribute to our longtime president at our ministry webpage, CompassionRadio.com. Please pay a visit and express your best wishes to his wife, Cher, to Bram Floria, and all the Compassion Radio team. It would mean so much. And finally, we'll be giving you information about a memorial service coming up in Southern California on Sunday, May 28th, that you're invited to. So keep tuned right here. Let's get back now to the second half of today's Compassion Radio Classic program.
As a historian yourself, do you see any raw materials for that to take place?
I absolutely do. I mean, I think if you look at this condition of England around the middle of the 18th century, let's say about the 1750s, England was one of the most corrupt, cruel places in Europe. You had public hangings. You had complete corruption in the political system. You could buy your seat in Parliament. And you had a very serious street crime condition that was made life very dangerous for people just walking around in any city. Now, that was changed because the Wesleyan revival, the non-Wesley revival, completely transformed the country. And then you had remarkable individuals like William Wilberforce, who campaigned against slavery and also campaigned to change the lifestyle of England. And he succeeded. So there's no doubt that it can be done. But what you've got to have is a population of Christians who earnestly seek God to do this, but who don't stop asking him to have mercy on our country.
Let me ask you this, David, in that regard, how important is it for those of us who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ to take a good hard look at ourselves? In other words, revival begins with me.
That's right. Revival begins with repentance. That's absolutely true. And all of us need to repent of things where we have really fallen short of God's expectations and his call upon us. And there's nobody in a position to say, oh, well, those people have got to get their behavior right, but I'm okay. We all have to come on our faces before the Lord on behalf of ourselves and the nation as a whole and pray for God to have mercy.
Describe, just very briefly, the Wesleyan revival. What did that consist of?
It basically consisted in first one man, John Wesley, and then a whole group of Methodist preachers traveling throughout Britain, preaching the gospel of salvation to communities far and wide, both to many groups of people and to just a handful of people, anybody who would listen. It required these godly men and then later women to do this in the face of quite often serious hostility and mockery.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful story about John Wesley who was going out for a walk between two hedges, and he said, "Lord, I'm concerned I haven't had any serious opposition. I'm wondering if I'm still okay with you." And then a boot came flying over the hedge, and a voice said, "Is that that blankety-blank Methodist preacher again?" So his prayer was answered.
I'll tell you, from time to time, David, one of the things that troubles me, and this is just a personal opinion, this is not the gospel truth, but I see in the pulpits of America a defection from the gospel. In other words, we have become sort of we get carried away with superficial matters. And I talk about with the renewal of the family, that's not superficial. But as I read the sermon titles coming from the nation's pulpits and read the books that are being produced by, in many cases, pastors of the largest churches in America, I don't hear the essence of the gospel being emphasized or being proclaimed. What do you think about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Norm. You've got the weight loss gospel and the make more money in network marketing gospel and all kinds of messages, which are not wrong in and of themselves, but they seriously don't point to the essence of the gospel, which is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Are we in the right place we should be? Are we seeking with all our might the expansion of the kingdom of God? And it is true that many of these very large churches have sort of basically swum away from that position. They have embraced a watered-down, generic sort of good-feeling gospel, which is very distressing, I think.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and it is a matter of great concern to me, because it seems to me that revival begins with the revival of the church. To expect revival to happen among people who have never had it to begin with, revival has to have a reference to something that actually was at one time.
Yes,
and
that's right.
If we are expecting the movie industry or the political realm to be bastions of purity and all of that and neglect the proclamation of the gospel, the essence of the gospel, I don't think there's much of a future for this nation, at least in terms of renewal from the pulpit.
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, the church has to set the standard and has to be the model for the whole of society, of taking care of its own in a sort of compassionate sense, and also speaking up for righteousness and righteous behavior. If we don't do it, why on earth should anybody else pay attention to it? We have got to model a community of people, Christians, who are humble and who are repenting of our own sins and shortcomings, and who are welcoming to everybody else who wants to join the group.
Well, I must say, if you're a Christian and you are concerned about the renewal of the church and leading to the renewal of the wonder of American democracy and that consensus that made this nation perhaps the greatest nation that has ever existed before on this planet, if that is at the heart of your concern, I want to recommend without reserve that you get a copy of David Akeman's One Nation Without God, and that's a question mark. This is a man who spent 23 years of high-level journalism with Time magazine, has appeared on every major network, television and radio that I know of. He is that rare combination of intellectual prowess and spiritual humility and commitment to the gospel. As far as I'm concerned, David Akeman typifies the kind of leadership that we need in this nation if we are to return to being one nation under God and reverse the tendency and the trends that are leading us to become one nation without God. David, I really appreciate you joining us. You're always a superb guest. God bless you, and in your teaching, in your research, and in your writing ventures, and we'll be watching closely for the next book to come down the line.
Thank you so much, Norman. God bless you.
Thank you so much. A privilege to have you with us, David.
Lord, we are so grateful for the life and witness of your humble servant, Norm Nelson. Thank you for allowing him to be part of our lives. And thanks to the wonders of technology, we will continue to revisit some of these classic broadcasts right here on Compassion Radio.
Here's a special message for anyone who might be in the Los Angeles, Orange County area over Memorial Day weekend.
This is Cher Nelson of Compassion Radio, and I have a message for our listening friends. As you know, our speaker, Norm Nelson, just recently passed away. His memorial celebration will be held Sunday, May 28. We invite you to come join us for memories and a good old hymn sing, one of Norm's favorite things. Their service will be held at the Lutheran Church of the Cross, 24231 El Toro, in Laguna Woods. A reception will follow, and Bram and I and the family would love to meet you. Call 1-800-868-2478 or call the station for more information. Again, our number is 800-868-2478. Please come.
You know, friends, the mission of Compassion Radio is to be the eyes and ears, hands, feet, and voice of Christ's compassion, serving those who suffer the most, wherever faith costs the most.
For years, we've reminded our partners, like you, that it is estimated that every Bible sent to mission hotspots ends up bringing 5 new believers into the kingdom. And guess what those 5 new believers need in order to flourish in their new faith? You guessed it, their own Bible. And that, my friends, is good news, because we can do something about it. Where it rains Bibles, the church grows, and it grows fast. And this month's project partner is doing something about it. And that's why we are so excited to have teamed up with an amazing organization called Bibles for the World. With your compassion and help, this month we can join with Bibles for the World in their Great Commission mission to bring the word to more villages and language groups that have never had or held their own Bibles. Each bundle of 50 Gospels of John can be printed, delivered, and distributed for only $25. and full Bibles can be placed in believers' hands for $6 a copy. How many would you like to send to these precious souls? For your gift of any size, we'll send you 5 meaningful minutes for dads. This small book packs inspiration, biblical guidance, and prayer starters into 5-minute devotions for dads. And by the way, we still have copies of the 5 Meaningful Minutes for Moms booklet as well, for a gift of $15 or more. Reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And our website is easy to access at CompassionRadio.com. That phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll catch you again next time with more Compassion Radio.